Well, praise the Lord. You know, there is a lot going on. You know, as I've been looking around, as I've been watching the news or tuning in, or my wife has shared things with me, or other people have shared things with me, you know, it all points to the same thing, what the Bible talks about in the end times, as we get closer and closer, that things will get worse and worse, that we will see them, that the Lord said that we would be safe and we would be protected. And so we need to remain in that hope as the people of God. We need to keep the hope of God in us alive. We need to be stirred towards the things of God, stirred towards the things that the truth, that which is that we will be okay. But I'm going to tell you right now that if you are not serving God, if you don't jump all in with God, you will not be okay. And that's what today's message is focused on. And we have to know this, folks. We cannot just blindly say that God has got this or that we're okay anymore and think that we can have nothing to do with God the rest of the week and that everything is going to be okay. We cannot go in this anymore. There are things that are happening around us, and this is just the beginning of the trials. Don't think that this is the end of it. This is the beginning of it. Praise the Lord. I say praise the Lord because God is good. But what it means is that Christians need to wake up and start getting serious about God. Amen. And I know that I've been preaching these things. I've been kind of staying along this vein. And there's been some, you know, rather pointed messages that have come out of the pulpit. But you have to understand the time for playing is over. And there has to be somebody who keeps declaring the truth. And that's exactly what I'm doing. And so we need to be serious about God going forward. If we've never been serious before, we need to get serious quickly. Amen. But there's a lot of things that are going on, all these riots and things like this. And what these riots really amount to is just this. It is a lack of God in the world. You look at the past few months, just the churches shutting down alone, people not being in churches. I've already noticed that some of you have even started getting a little bit squirrely. Amen. Praise the Lord. You say, well, really, Pastor? Yes, I absolutely have. People that don't go to church regularly get squirrely. People who don't sit in the sanctuary under the anointing of God regularly get squirrely. It's just the way that it goes. But when you magnify that across the nation, well, then all of a sudden you can get things getting out of hand real quick. And that's why you see what you see going on. We can't take these things. This is not the Moose Club. This is not the local, whatever local club that you go to. This is not the VFW or anything like that. I'm not coming down any of those things. I'm just saying that this is not something that you can just pick and choose. A life with God is just that, a life with God. It is not separate from God. Amen. Well, today's message is called Bound to Be Bound. Praise the Lord. And we're going to be talking about our freedom in Christ and what that really means. Amen. There's a saying that I was told early on and kind of learned it. That nothing in life is free, and there is truth to that. Praise the Lord, I found it. That, you know, they could say free this, free that, but you know as well as I know, and if you don't know, you need to know, that nothing in life is truly free, that there is a payout, there is somebody who's going to pay for it somewhere, amen? But when we're talking about the things of God, yes, God, Jesus has been freely given to us, amen? But that does not mean that we are just free from Him. That once we receive Jesus, if we receive the abundance of His salvation, we also have to receive what is entailed in that. And what is entailed in that is being yoked together with God, amen? Is being bound with Jesus, and bound with the Lord, bound to His plan, bound to what He wants us to do. The Bible is very clear. It says that you are not your own, amen? And you've been bought with a price. And so if you have received the free gift of salvation, if you are going to heaven, praise the Lord for it. Praise the Lord for you, but you have to know that that does not mean that you are just free to do whatever you want. Amen. And in America, it is so common for us to think that we're free, to talk about being free, but really our freedoms, even when we've been finding that out in the last few months, that our freedoms are more a matter of things that we say and not necessarily something that's real. Our freedoms are true until somebody decides to take them away. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Our freedoms are real until somebody decides, well, there's something greater, a greater reason why you can't have them. Now, depending on whoever is deciding, we've had all different kinds of options or examples of people who have been deciding, different governors and such, deciding different things. Even the president has said something different. So you understand that all the things that we thought that we have maybe aren't so. They're saying that you can't have, they were saying a month ago that you couldn't have a birthday party with people. I mean, in your own home. So these are the types of things that we're seeing. Now, of course, not everybody has complied with that. Not everybody has, jumped in line with that. But the point is that the government has threatened even to use force, if necessary, to keep people from doing it. You know, I was listening to my pastor's message last week, a real awesome message he preached on Sunday. But one of the things he was talking about is the twisted mentality that's out there, where they will arrest beachgoers, yet they will let convicted rapists go free because they're afraid that they'll get coronavirus. They'll be afraid they'll get some kind of virus. Well, listen, there's certain things that come with you committing a crime. And if coronavirus is one of them, well, that's still just a little bit too bad. Maybe you need to get your life straight. But see, this is a thing that we're seeing a lot, is we're seeing a twisting in things where they're allowing people that commit horrible atrocities to go free, and yet they're coming down on places like churches. They come down on things like, people who are out recreating, praise the Lord, but not necessarily breaking any kind of real laws. But nothing in life is free. And we have to understand that as the church, if we don't stay yoked together to what we have been yoked to, that we won't walk in the freedom that Christ truly paid for us. I want you to turn with me. We're going to start in John 8:36. Praise God. Hallelujah. John 8:36. Of course, we're very familiar with John 8:31 and 32. You will not be surprised to find out that this stays kind of in that same vein. Praise the Lord. John 8:36, and it says there, "Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." Praise the Lord. Now, we look at this freedom. We understand. We look at this freedom often. We've talked about this. Christians often refer to this type of freedom of being made free indeed, but they don't really understand what that freedom is. That freedom does not mean that you are just free to do whatever you wanted to do. Because the law was the thing that directed us and showed us that was bad. Now, what this freedom talks about is we are free from sin. We have been made free from the bondage of sin. And this is where a lot of Christians have missed it. Amen? They think that they can live any way they want, but they can still be saved. They can still be helped just because they've accepted Jesus. Well, you haven't accepted Jesus if you live any way that you want. You haven't accepted the terms of the agreement. You haven't accepted the things that God has laid down. When you accept Jesus, that means you accept the terms that he has given. Amen? It means you accept that into your life. It means that you are all in with God. Praise the Lord. And that the former you are giving up to be all in with God. That's the freedom it is talking about. It does not mean free for all in Christ. Amen? Galatians 5:13 tells us, "For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another." In other words, don't use your liberty as a way of just doing whatever you want to do. Use your liberty to freely serve one another. Amen? In 1 Peter 2:16, it says, "As free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bondservants of God." So we see that the Bible has very clearly given us direction, and those are just two examples, has very clearly given us direction that we are not just free to do whatever we want to do. And we have to be careful of that. There's this whole saying that's real popular in society, that you do you. That is a very dangerous thing. And it's even more dangerous when the people of God embrace such doctrines of demons, is really what it is. It's a doctrine of demon to say, do whatever you want to do. You do you. You make you feel good. That is nowhere in Scripture. You'll never find Scripture leading us to do those things. Those are dangerous things that lead to death. The reason you are seeing what you are seeing is because there is a lot of people that are doing them. Amen. They're out there doing what they want to do. They're out there doing things the way they want to do them. And that's exactly why you get riots in the streets. That's why you get people who break into businesses that they didn't create or they didn't labor for. They think that the people are out running the streets thinking they have some kind of right to do. Constitution does not give them people the right to do so. The Constitution gives us the right to peacefully protest, but it doesn't. And you'll notice that our government, again, they will go in and arrest pastors and close churches, yet people can run around the streets destroying things and nobody does anything about it. There's something wrong in this. There's something wrong about it. There's something evil about it. And Christians need to wake up to the fact that there's things going on, praise the Lord, that God is not okay with. We have to stand strong. We have to stand in the Word of God. Now, does that mean that we go out and protest? No. The first and foremost thing that we do is we pray. The other thing that we need to do is we need to be in the Word. We need to be focused on the Word. We need to be people who are serious about the Word. We need to be people that are serious about the things of God. And I will tell you what is happening right now with the churches. Why are the churches closed down? The churches are closed down because Christians do not care enough. They have not cared enough. You say, well, how have we not cared enough? Have you been supporting the church with everything that's in you? Have you been standing behind the vision that is being planted in every local church or the local church you're called to with everything that is in you? If you are not, then you are not connected to that local church. And God is shaking the tree right now to see what things are going to fall off. You know, we have windstorms up here a lot in Mayville, praise the Lord, and up by our house, we have some trees in the backyard. And those trees, whenever there's a windstorm, there's always broken branches that fall to the ground. Well, you need to understand, Jesus said, He is the vine and you are the branch, praise the Lord. And if you are shaken free, it means you are not connected. If you are shaken loose, you are not connected. Folks, we need to be serious about this. You know, we talked about meeting in the parking lot, and yet we have a third of our church out there. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Why? Because people aren't connected. You say, well, we watch online. Well, yeah, watching online is okay, but you're not, the farther you stay away, the easier you make it to stay away, or the easier you allow it to stay away, the easier it will be. And I can just tell you that we probably won't do online forever, because we're not going to have people not coming to church. People are either going to be serious or they're not. Forgive me while I get bold here. Praise the Lord. I didn't necessarily mean to wake up this way, but folks, we've got to get serious about church. And I'm just going to tell you the truth. I am not going to pastor a church that is a lily church that doesn't care about the things of God. I am not going to pastor people that don't care about the things of God. We either get serious about it or we don't have it. Amen. Because God will shut it down. Praise the Lord. So we have to understand that we are connected to the things that I'm just going to be honest with you. I do not know where this boldness has come from, because I didn't wake up this way. Amen. Praise the Lord. But the message is a message. Praise the Lord. And God wants to get something over to us. Folks, it's time we wake up. It's time that you wake up. Stop being weak-minded. Stop being tossed about by every wind, everything that comes. We need to be strong together. Amen. Praise the Lord. You are under rules of the law, the religious law, but that does not mean that you are free to just go and do what you want. Amen. The Bible has made us free from the law of sin and death. It has. The New Testament, Jesus, the blood of God, Jesus, has made us free from the law of sin and death. But we have to be serious about God. We have to be serious about the things of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Many of you don't even understand what I mean by the law. Yeah, I say that, and I bet you if I went out and took a poll of our churches, if I went out there and just said, you know, how many people know what I even mean by the law? That there's a lot of Christians that have no idea what we mean by the law. Sadly, too many churches have brought people so far from the truth that they think that everything is a free-for-all. And that's exactly what's happening in the seeker-sensitive churches, the churches that oh, just come as you are and stay as you are and be as you are, because God doesn't want you to change. He wants you just, yes, He wants you to come just the way you are. The doors are freely open to anyone who wants to come. But the Bible never tells us that we are to stay there. Amen? Praise the Lord. But people, the churches have taught people so far away from the truth that they can't even honor and respect the things of God. That people come into the sanctuary like it's a playground. People come into the sanctuary like it's a gymnasium instead of reverencing. Do you know that this represents, praise the Lord, this represents the holiest of holies, the same idea that God had in the temple. And you know that the priests could not go into the Holy of Holies except for once a year. And when they went in with a sacrifice and a string tied to their, rope tied to their ankle, so that when they went in, if they were in sin and they dropped dead because they went into the holy place, that they had to be dragged out so they didn't stink on the inside. This is absolute truth. But people have lost the idea of the importance of being holy, the importance of the sanctuary. Sanctuary, the word sanctuary has a deeper meaning than just the room where we go sit, listen to the preacher yell. Amen. It doesn't just mean it's a place where we sit, go sit and count ceiling tiles or whatever else. It's sanctified. It means it's pure. It needs to be pure and clean, but people don't treat it that way anymore. They treat the sanctuary like it's just a place where you can go do anything you want. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. We are seeing a world that is a result of people not bound to anything but their own desires. And that's exactly what's going on. And you say, well, Pastor Jeff, why are you getting so bold? Why are you standing there so forceful and just saying these things like this? I'm saying it because it is a warning. It is a warning going out to all the earth, and first and foremost to you. If you're sitting out there, if you're online, you need to listen to what I'm saying. This is a warning. Things are not going to get better. They're going to get worse. We may have moments of reprieve, but things are going to continually get worse. There are going to be signs and things on the earth that will point to this. These are just the beginning of sorrows, but the Bible still calls them sorrows. Amen? That's just the truth. There are things all over the place. Notice that all of a sudden the riots just spread like wildfire. Spread like wildfire. Why do you think that is? It's because people are not anything but their own desires. It's their desire. Listen, there's times when I want to go out there and I want to shoot things up, but I don't do it. Praise the Lord, because I'm a rational person. Amen? Because I'm bound to something greater. There's times when I want to go out there and break things up. There's times when I want to go punch people out. But we don't do that because we're called of God. Amen? We don't just stand there and shout whatever obscenity or whatever comes to mind. We have to exhibit self-control. Amen? Praise the Lord. But will the world listen? Will the people of God listen? That's what we're finding out, amen? We're finding out more and more whether or not people are going to listen to sound doctrine or the leading of God. We are seeing a world that is a result of the things that people have been sowing. This nation is a result of what it's been sowing. Now, I think there's been a lot of things that have been happening that are good, but things are getting worse and worse and worse to the point where people don't even mind them taking your liberties. They don't even mind taking liberties over listen, and these things are warning signs. What are these warning signs of? Now, see, a lot of people will sit there and they'll just get stirred and mad. Well, we can't get stirred and mad. We got to get stirred and serious. Yeah. Amen? Praise the Lord. Because worse is coming. Glory to God. I'm just telling you the truth. Amen? You might think, well, man, what did I wake up to today? What did I come in here for today? Well, you're coming in for the truth. We're a church that preaches the truth. Amen? And the truth doesn't always feel good. But the truth is the truth regardless. Amen? Romans 6:18. Glory to God. Romans 6:18. Praise the Lord. 18 through 23. And having been set free from sin, you have become slaves of righteousness. See, you have been set free from sin, from living in sin. But why do Christians think that being set free from living in sin means that you can just go out and live in sin? I just don't get this. I don't understand this. We preach from the pulpit all the time the truth of what sin looks like. But people think, people casual with their bodies. You know, we see this stuff all the time. We see people casual with their bodies, giving their bodies to anybody, sharing them around, people encouraging it in other people. I see Christians doing this. Do you realize that you are encouraging sin? You're standing in this, and people might not like to hear this, but here's the thing. You are playing with the devil when you do that. You're bringing the devil into your life. Amen. Praise the Lord. And having been set free from sin, you have become slaves of righteousness. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness, lawlessness leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. God desires, wants us to be holy. He demands, he commands us to be holy. The Bible says, without holiness, no one will see the Lord. That means you cannot get into heaven without holiness. Jesus did not come to clean you from your uncleanness just so you could go back and live in it as much as you want. He did not do this. Folks, we need to be aware of this stuff. We need to be aware of what is really going on. For just as you presented your members of slaves of uncleanness and lawlessness leading to more lawlessness. Notice that. When somebody starts embracing lawlessness, what does it lead to? It leads to more lawlessness. People are looking around and they're getting frustrated. Some people are getting fearful. Some people are getting scared. Some people in the church are getting scared. They're looking around going, what is going on? It is lawlessness leading to more lawlessness. The more that Americans embrace lawlessness, the more lawlessness is going to grow. The more the church embraces lawlessness, the weaker the church is going to grow. And that's the truth. That is why we have so many churches that are basically just worthless, because all they have become is a place for people to come together and justify their lawlessness. But this cannot be so anymore. Somebody has got to stand up. Praise the Lord. Somebody has got to stand up. Somebody's got to fight back. Amen. Glory to God. praise the Lord. And having been, let's see, where was I? Yep. Oh yeah, down there in verse 19. So now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. What fruit did you have then in the things which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. This is exactly what you have to understand. Sin causes death. Sin always causes death. It always leads to death. And so if you embrace a sin, any sin in your life, it will cause you to go to destruction. And the Bible says, what fruit did you have in those things in which you are now ashamed? But the problem is that there's a lot of Christians that aren't even ashamed of what they live, the way they lived before. If we live the same way we always lived, we have not received the free gift of grace. We have not received what Jesus has paid for. If we are the same as we were when we came in, we are no different, then we are no different. If a duck looks like a duck, then it's a duck. Praise the Lord. If it quacks like a duck, it's a duck. We talk about these things, but it's the same thing with humans. If you still look like lawlessness, then you are not cleansed. You are not clean. There are people, the Bible warns us that there are people that will sit in churches and say, Lord, didn't I serve you? Didn't I do this? Didn't I do that? And he'll say, depart from me. I never knew you. It's sad to think so, but it's happening all over the place. Oh, praise the Lord. Glory to God. Verse 22, but now having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end, everlasting life. And so the end of what we do when we live holy, the end of it, there's fruit in the holiness, but the end of it is everlasting life with Jesus. We don't get to just do whatever we want to do here on earth and then live, then expect that we get to walk, waltz into heaven, praise the Lord, with all our sin in tow. It's not going to happen that way. We have to be cleansed. The church of God has got to be cleansed. The Bible says that that judgment first starts with the house of God. Judgment is going to start with us first. We're the first to be judged. And the reason I was talking about the law earlier is because so many churches, they don't even preach right and wrong anymore. They don't even tell people the things that are actually causing them to sin. You got Christians out there that are drinking alcohol like people that just sit at the bars, and they think that somehow they're justified in doing so. They think that somehow they're justified, that they can do these things, that they can go out there and just partake like the world partakes. God has called that sin. Partaking of those things is sin. Praise the Lord. He said that those people will not receive it. People out there being sexually immoral. Listen, sexually immoral is not just out there having sex. Praise the Lord. I'm telling you the truth. You making out with somebody you're not married to, that's sexually immoral. That's just as bad as fornicating. That is fornicating. Praise the Lord. If you're out there, if you're married and you're looking at other people, listen, or if you're talking to other people, you're in a certain way. I'm just telling you the truth. That's sexually immoral. This is the truth. If we're doing these things, we are not being cleansed. We can't be doing that. And we can't be teaching that it's okay. You do you. You know, this is what the world wants to embrace. The church cannot embrace these things. Amen. Praise the Lord. But now having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of eternal life, the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. And so we see here that the wages of sin is death. Sin causes death. The reason death happens is because of sin. You cannot separate sin and death. You cannot separate death and sin. The two are completely connected. You say, well, wait a minute, we all die. Yes, we all die as a result of sin that has entered the human race. That doesn't mean that we're all embracing sin, but it does mean that sin still can affect us. Sin can still affect us here. Sin causes premature death. You know, when death happens prematurely, it's some sort of sin somewhere that has done it. Now, sometimes people don't even know about it. It doesn't mean that all the people that die prematurely are going to hell. I'm not saying that either. But it means that God has not intended people to die prematurely. Praise the Lord. There is a God has intended us a long life and to be satisfied in it. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. The wage of sin is the inability to walk in victory. That's another way I wanted to say it. The wage of sin is the inability to walk in victory. What happens is when we embrace sin, we lose our victory. We lose the things that God has given us to win. The more sin that we embrace, the less victory we will have. And so this is why people see their lives falling apart. Listen, if you are your life, if it is falling apart, if you are, or if you are watching somebody else's life who is falling apart, there is one thing attached to it, and that is the lack of victory in Christ. In Christ, we can all have victory. Everybody can have victory. Every man, woman, and child is entitled to it. If you're in the church and you are having issues where your life is falling apart, then folks, you need to get it right. You need to figure out what's going on. If you need to talk to us, talk to us. Reach out. Reach out to somebody that will help you. But listen, it is not because just the world is against you. It is not, and it's certainly not because God is against you. God has given you the way out of it, but you choose what you will do. You know, we talk about marriages all the time. Marriages are one of the number one things that are attacked in the body of Christ in this world. And the reason is because it is a reminder of the covenant, our covenant with God. And that's why the devil hates it so greatly. And so the devil attacks marriage, and Christians fall in line with that. If you're, you know, if you have issues in your marriage, that is not God's will. Praise the Lord. And don't just be so quick to blame it on your spouse. Amen. Yeah, amen. You have to first clean up your own back. When you do everything right, then you have right to say, well, you know, I did what I needed to do. But I'll tell you this, what a lot of people's troubles, most troubles that people fall into are not difficult to answer. Amen. But something else I have found is that a lot of people, because I preach this way, a lot of people won't even bring those things to me. You see, when you preach the truth, people are less likely to, because they don't want to know the truth. Listen, if you want to keep a secret of something that's falling apart in your life because you're scared to bring it or whatever, that just means you're afraid of the truth. So that means you're deceiving yourselves. That means you're deceiving yourself. God, there is an answer. If you're in a problem, if you have a problem, there is an answer. And if you're willing to shut up for a minute and listen, you'll hear your answer. You'll hear the truth that will set you free. You'll hear that. Listen, it's not because I'm so great. It has nothing to do with me at all. I in of myself, I was a complete loser. But with the Lord, the direction of the Lord can lead us into all things, all blessedness. That's exactly what I received. I was a person who was full of self-deception. And because of somebody wasn't afraid to preach the truth to me and I wasn't afraid to listen, glory to God, I was able to come out of that. I was able to come into a place of being blessed. I was able to come out of a place of everything falling apart all the time. God is not intending your life to fall apart. So if your life is falling apart, it's not on his end. Praise the Lord. And I will say this, and you're not going to like it, but it is on your end. Yeah. It's going to be because, listen, if it's not on God's end, don't just sit there blaming it on the devil, because you have a choice whether to follow the devil or not. And you have a choice whether to follow God or not. And the Bible promises is if we follow God, all things will be good. So if you'll listen to advice, if you'll listen to direction, your life will get set free. Praise the Lord. I said, you will get set free, but it comes at a cost. You have to be willing to die to self. You have to be willing to give up your own ideas on how things should be and start looking into the perfect law of liberty. Amen. You need to start looking at the things God has ordained as good. You need to start looking at what God has set as good. Praise the Lord. And break away from the things that you thought. You know, people make decisions all the time. People make decisions all the time based on their flesh, based on natural circumstances. What natural circumstances are guiding your life? Think about this. If they are, you're just giving into the flesh. Yeah. You know, people say, well, I go to this church or that church. You don't get to go to whatever church you choose. You get before the Lord and find out where he calls you. Yeah. And then you stay there and you stay faithful there. Praise the Lord. Why? Because God wants to feed you through that vein. He wants to feed you there. He wants to bless your life there. That's why people call all the time. But we see people drop off because, and it's always because of the flesh. Yeah. It's always because they're doing something that we preach against, so that we preach out of the Bible. But the reason people leave is always because people have been preached against something that they don't want to give up in the flesh. Yeah. And when you do that, you just embrace sin. Yeah. So you embrace death. So don't be sad. Don't be all upset. Don't be mad at anybody but yourself when it falls apart, because it's not on God's end. Praise the Lord. God wants you helped. We want you helped. The reason we do this, the reason we go through the stuff that we go through just to be here, praise the Lord. We do that because we want people helped. We want the plan of God to go forth. We want it to be bold. We want it to be big. We want people helped. Praise the Lord. That's why we go through what we go through. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I just wish people understood that. You know, people, I sit here preaching one thing. People think I'm just trying to, you know, I've been accused of all kinds of things. People think I'm trying to build my kind of life. Listen, my life has nothing to do with you. I'm just telling you the truth. My kind of life, I didn't want to come do anything with you. I didn't want to have a bunch of people here. I'm not picking on you specifically. I'm just saying I didn't want people. My kind of life was by myself doing what I wanted, doing me. That's what my kind of life was. My kind of life was it had nothing to do with standing in a suit every weekend and preaching to a bunch of people about the ways you should live the lives. My kind of life that I wanted to live was out there rioting, was out there being drunk, was out there being high, was out there doing the things I want, fornicating, doing the things I wanted to do, making my life just what I wanted to be. My kind of life wasn't sitting here. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Do you think that my flesh just all of a sudden changed over and now I'm just a guy who just loves to embrace all the things I didn't want to? No, not absolutely not. You don't just change like that. You have to crucify the flesh. You have to tell your flesh what it's going to do. Amen. You have to decide what it's going to do and praise the Lord for it. Now that does not mean I don't love you. So don't think that. It doesn't mean I don't care. When I give you a hug, it means I really love you. Amen. And when I tell you I love you, I actually do love you. I do care for you. Praise the Lord. But that's the love of God in me. Amen. That wasn't natural Jeff. You would not have liked natural Jeff. You wouldn't have liked pre-Jesus Jeff. I'm just telling you the truth. Because pre-Jesus Jeff wasn't a very nice guy. Pre-Jesus Jeff did what he wanted to do. Amen. Glory to God. Now you got post-Jesus Jeff. After I received Jesus, Jeff. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The wage of sin is the inability to walk in victory. So that's what you give up. You know, nothing in life is free. You know that, right? Praise the Lord. If you get online and you see something on there that says, free month of this, you know this, that there's something behind it where there's strings attached. Amen. And so if you give your credit card or anything like that, you know, I always love it. You get a free, you know, you get this free test or that free test, or you can get this free information or that free information. But then you always go down and first they want your name, right? And they want your email and say, okay, I can give up my name. I can give up my email. Then sometimes they even want your address. Well, sure, I can give up my address. So you do that too. And then they want your credit card. Why do they want your credit card? Because nothing in life is free. There is going to be a payout. Amen. And so if you choose sin, there is wages that are attached to that labor. If you choose sin, the payout is going to be something that you don't want to pay. Sin never costs something that you want to pay. Amen? It never does. Because you think about all the things, all the pain, the suffering that you've had in life, that was caused by sin. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean that you specifically sinned. Sometimes because we're born into sin, there are effects of sin on this earth. Amen. But with that being said, it's not always comfortable on our flesh. And so it makes us, the sin always pays out what we don't want to pay, or always charges what we don't want to pay. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians. Praise God. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 2. Praise the Lord. 2 Corinthians 2:14. Glory, glory, glory. 2 Corinthians 2:14. Almost there. Praise the Lord. We'll read through verse 17. 2 Corinthians 2:14. Amen. Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ. Praise the Lord. I want to stop right there. Who always leads us. Notice the Bible says leads. Doesn't say always drags us. Doesn't say always brings us. Doesn't say always makes us. It says always leads us. What do we know about being led? You have to be willing to be led. You know, a horse that doesn't want to be led won't be led. Praise the Lord, right? It won't be led. It just won't do what, if it just wants to be stubborn, You know, when I was when I was a kid, I had a friend who had, this was the one and only time that I'd ever been on a horse. I'd like to go again, but this was the one and only time I had ever actually been on one. We went to my friend's house, and my friend had a couple horses. And he said, "Hey, you want to go ride horses?" I was like, "Yeah, I'd love to." And so we got on the horse, and it was intimidating. It was scary as a young child who'd never been on a horse before, but we started riding. And this horse didn't like to be away from the barn for whatever reason. And so, as you know, the rider is typically leading the horse in the direction that they want to go. The horse, very rarely does a rider get on the horse and just, hey, go wherever you want to go. You know, because that would be boring, right? The horse would probably stay in the field and eat hay. But, the rider is leading the horse. So we're leading the horse out into the field. But the horse didn't want to be out in the field. So what he did every single time, we'd get out so far, and he'd turn around, and he would beeline back for the barn. And I mean, he went fast. Amen? And if you've never been on a horse before like I hadn't, going fast on a horse is real scary. And so he did this. And a couple of times we did this. And finally I said, I'm not making this horse do anything he don't want to do. I'm done with this horse. I'm getting off. I'm all done riding. Praise the Lord. That was my horse riding experience. But the point that I'm trying to make is that horse was so stubborn, he was going to be where he wanted to be. Couldn't make him go, couldn't make him do what he didn't want to do. Well, Christians are the same way. People of God are the same way. Amen? God will always leads us in triumph. If you follow God, it always leads you to victory. Always. Every single time, if you follow God, he will lead you to victory. Praise the Lord. Every single time. What does the Bible say? It says, thanks be to God who always leads, right? But it does not mean drag. If you will not be led, then you will not have victory. And if you don't have victory, it's because you have not been led. Now, maybe you say, well, Pastor Jeff, I don't know how to be led. Well, then you just need to stick around this church and we'll help teach you how to be led. Praise the Lord. Not by me, but by God. Amen? Because that's one of the things that we sell in this church. Amen? We sell people the opportunity to find a plan of God for their life. And we don't sell it by saying, hey, this is God's plan for your life. We teach people how to find the plan of God for their lives. Because I can't tell you what the plan of God for your life is. You need to discover that. There's even been times when I've known certain people, praise the Lord, that different things were in the plan of God for their life. And I did not say anything about it because I didn't want to be the one leading them. They need to learn how to be led by the Holy Spirit for themselves. Amen. And so this is what I'm saying, but God always leads us to victory. And so if what we've been led into is not victory, if it's not victorious, if it's not triumph, amen, then it does not count. Glory to God. It is not God. Praise the Lord. So now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and through us diffuses fragrance of his knowledge in every place. So notice what God likes to do. He likes to lead us in victory and triumph. So we're always winning. And then through us, he diffuses knowledge. Praise the Lord. He diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. In other words, when I first came into the church, I knew nothing about God. I knew very little about God. And then somebody started teaching me, and then I got trained up and I got raised up into the things of God that somebody else taught me. The things I teach you are not things I've come up with on my own, but they are things that have been handed down from generation to generation to generation through the ranks, all the way back from Jesus himself, amen? Because we still preach the same word he preaches. We still preach the same word that the apostles preach. And so we've been taught this. And as I was taught this, I was able to come out to Mayville. My wife and I were able to come out to Mayville and diffuse the fragrance of his knowledge here. That knowledge is that in Christ, you always will be led in victory if you're willing to follow. But if you're not, you will not see victory. So the victory is not on God's end. The victory is on your end. The decision is on your end. Do you want what God has for you or don't you? Do you want the blessed assurance, as we like to sing? Amen. We sing that song, blessed assurance. What is the blessed assurance? It is the truth of God in Christ. Amen. The truth of God in Christ is that God always leads us to triumph. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. And he always, through us, the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ. Look at this. This is what a born-again believer is supposed to be. You are supposed to be the fragrance of Christ. This is not just talking about ministers. This is talking about all of us. We are the fragrance of God. Praise the Lord. I want to say this right. We are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. So when we come out, when we preach the word to you, if you are saved already, we are still the fragrance of Christ. Praise the Lord. And when you go out in the world and you take that truth to the world, you are the fragrance. You live in the world. When you come out of church, you may be blessed when you come out of church, but when you go to the world, do you exhibit to pain and suffering? Are you showing the people, oh, my this or that is destroyed, my marriage is upset, my family life is upset, my job, I just lost my job, I just, all this stuff, you're always complaining, always diffusing the wrong fragrance? Have you ever noticed that? You know, my in-laws have a camp and near a piece of property out in the Panama area. And there's a neighbor that has some kind of farm or something like that, or taxidermy, or they do some kind of butchering or something. But they have, regardless, they have animal carcasses left over that they dispose of. And where they dispose of them is over this this bank, kind of where they figured that nobody is. But the problem is every once in a while when the wind is just right, that fragrance will come down through the valley and flood the camp with the smell. It is an awful smell because it's rotten, especially when it's hot. It's a rotten carcass smell. But it always comes down there. Listen, that's how a lot of Christians smell to the world. Because they're out there in the world trying to, they're out there in the world talking about this problem. About this problem. They're jumping on Facebook and bashing people for this and bashing people for that. Praise the Lord. I'm just going to tell you the truth, man. That garbage, social media is a bunch of garbage. That's all it is. It's a bunch of garbage. I mean, I know that there's some good things happen, but mostly what's happening on it now is a bunch of garbage. I am not directing you to go just dump your Facebook account. I'm not saying that's what you have to do to be okay with God, but I'm just telling you right now that if you get your news from Facebook, you're deceived. If you get most of your knowledge, or you spend most of your time soaking up the things off of Facebook, you're deceived. Why? Because it's garbage. It's lies. It's garbage. It's just stuff people are putting out there that's not even truth. My wife was dealing with that even this weekend. She was dealing with, talking to a family member, and they were talking about this stuff, and they were talking about untruths, things that just somebody posted on Facebook. It goes around. Now everybody believes it. What is this? This is the ability. The devil is using this kind of stuff. You have to be careful with what you receive. Do you want the truth or don't you want the truth? Amen? If you don't want the truth, you'll be deceived. But what people are doing is Christians are pumping this stuff out there. They're pumping this stuff out, saying this. You know what I loved when this whole thing came down? I saw a bunch of, and this happened in the family churches. I saw a bunch of family church people getting on there. Pastors need to do this, and pastors need to do this. Listen, if you've never been a pastor, you have no right to ever tell a pastor what they need to do. I'm going to tell you why, because you have never pastored. You have no idea. You have no idea the weight of every decision that they make. If you are not the CEO of a company, you have no right to say what a CEO of the company should do, because you've never had the right, you've never had that business of leading a company. You know, people think all the time, it's the same thing, people do this with principals. You know, if you've never been, you don't have the right. You don't have the right to sit there and say what teacher. Now listen, I know when somebody's just being bad, there's a difference between that. But when people are just so quick to judge every little thing that other people do, praise the Lord. This has crept into the church. Everybody wants to say, everybody wants opinion, yet nobody knows. Amen? People say, well, why'd you use that person? Because you don't know what I know. People say, why didn't you use that person? Or why weren't you nicer to that person? You don't know what I know. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Listen, you don't have to decide what I know or what you think I should do. Amen. Praise the Lord. Just as I don't, according to the word, but I don't go into your lives and start picking that apart. Amen. Or go into your job. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Unless you bring me into it, and then you bring me information, or others bring me information, and that information is pertinent. You know, obviously at that point, there's a difference there. And I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that we never have a right to decide whether a teacher is bad or not, or a principal is bad, and I'm not saying that. But I'm saying that people are always so quick to judge and jump on a bandwagon without actually thinking about it, praying about it, or doing any other godly things. Amen? Praise the Lord. But we are just supposed to be a fragrance. We're not supposed to be a smelling carcass pile, a rotten smelling carcass pile. We're supposed to be the fragrance, which indicates like a fragrance, like a perfume or a flower or something like that, something that smells good to people. Amen? Praise the Lord. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one we are the aroma of death leading to death, and the other the aroma of life leading to life. And who is sufficient for these things? For we are not, as so many, peddling the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as from God, we speak in the sight of God in Christ. Praise the Lord. Now, I want to talk to you about that word peddling. Praise the Lord, because it's an interesting word. Let me get down to it here. My notes keep switching around. Peddling means adulterate, which means used as of the way it's used there was of tavern keepers in the old times who used to mix wine with water. Praise the Lord. We're talking about watered down Christianity. Watered down wine. What they would do is, and some, I've heard of bar owners doing this before too, where they'll take bottles of alcohol, like whiskey or vodka or whatever, and they'll mix in water so they use less of a pure, you know, so they can save money. And they do it because they're cheap. And so that's what he's saying. We're not watering down Christianity. We don't water down Christianity in this church. Some people don't like the boldness of the truth. Some people don't like hearing what the truth really says. Why? Because the truth always steps on toes. You cannot be a person and have the truth not step on your toes. Truth always steps on my toes. Praise the Lord. When I preach a message, it steps on my toes too. When I'm stepping on toes, I'm stepping on my toes too. Amen. But we don't mix it. We don't mix it like the rest of the people. We're not mixing water in. We're not watering down our Christianity. We're not saying, you know what, we're going to, well, but people don't like to hear this these days, so we're going to preach something a little bit different, you know, or that's not, that doesn't apply in this society. God has written the word so that it applies in every society and every generation throughout all of history. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, glory to God. We often like the scriptures in Matthew 11, 28. I don't want you to turn there in 29, 30. Where Jesus says, come to me, all you labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Praise the Lord. But in verse 29, we always kind of overlook this. It says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light, verse 30 says. But notice that word yoke. That word yoke means that you are attached. There is still a yoking and still an affixing to do if you're a Christian. It means you have to yoke yourself together with Christ. Praise the Lord. If you want rest, if you want peace, you have to yoke yourself to something new, and that's Jesus. He is the only place you will ever find peace. Peace does not exist outside of God. Let me say that again, and let me be very sure that you understand this. Peace does not exist outside of yoking yourself with Jesus Christ. And yoking yourself with Jesus Christ means yoking yourself to his way of doing things. He says, take my yoke upon you and what? Learn from me. In other words, I'm going to teach you things that will help you. I'm going to teach you things that will set you free. But until you determine in yourself that you're going to do that, until you see yourself as yoked with Jesus, Christian, let me ask you, do you see yourself as yoked with Jesus? How do you know if you're yoked with Jesus? Do his words matter to you? When the Bible tells us and directs us to do something, do those words matter to you? Do those words sink into you? Are they of utmost importance to you? Do you embrace them and say, this is the word of God, this is the truth? You know, one thing I do like that, I think it's the Catholics do it. You know, that somebody will say, this is the word of the Lord, and somebody else will say something else. I don't know. I've never sat in, really sat in too many of those services. But I always like that they acknowledge that it's the word of God. You know, that's maybe one of the things that us Pentecostals could learn from our Catholic brothers and sisters, if you will, is that we could learn that when the word is spoken, the word is the word of God, the Lord. This is the word of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. That should stir us. In fact, when we preach the word, we should have that understanding within us. Maybe that's one of those things that we've lost in our freedom. Has lost that idea that when the pastor's preaching out of the word of God, when I read the word of God to you and the Bible says be yoked with Christ, that means that's what God said. God said be yoked with Christ. Jesus said be yoked with me. Take my yoke upon you. Amen? It's like, because without my yoke, you're lost. Without my yoke, you're going to fall. You're going to stumble. You're going to fall. You're just going to fail. Amen? You won't be. God always leads us in triumph. Again, you think about yoked oxen. What are they? They're being led. They're yoked because they would not go in the direction that they're supposed to go on their own. Amen. We are like oxen. We are like unyoked oxen, those who won't follow the word. Amen. And so we need to affix ourselves to something greater. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. I'm going to close with Hebrews 7:25. I'm just going to read it so you write it down and keep it, look at it later. It says, therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. God is able to save us to the uttermost. Doesn't matter how much trouble, doesn't matter how much trial, doesn't matter what's going on. Folks, we need to have faith in God. We need to have our direction in God. If we yoke ourselves to God, there is great promise, there is great hope. But I'm going to be very honest with you right now. Without doing the things that I've said today, without being yoked to God and completely yoked to Jesus, his Son, his way, his Holy Spirit, without that, all that's ahead for you is failure. Just know it right now. It's been spoken, and if you've been listening, you just heard it, so you're responsible for it. If you don't yoke yourself to Jesus from here on out, all there is ahead for you is failure. Amen? I don't want to just leave it on that, but we have to know the other side of that. You yoke yourself to him, and all there is victory. Amen? So if you want victory, yoke yourself to God and what he's doing, what God has for you to do, and watch where you'll go. Amen?